This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper.
Technology is making things easier and in some cases better for kids, especially those who find themselves in the hospital often. At Children's Hospital Los Angeles, doctors and nurses are using virtual reality to make things like routine blood draws easier for kids.
Joining us to discuss these efforts is Dr. Jeffrey Gold, clinical psychologist and director of the Pediatric Pain Management Clinic in the Department of Anesthesiology Critical Care Medicine at the hospital. Here's producer Mark Lavonier with the interview.
Thanks a lot for joining us on Take Care, Dr. Gold.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How is virtual reality used at your hospital and even at other hospitals today?
So virtual reality was first introduced in a pediatric hospital setting for the purposes of painful procedures. And we used it as a form of distraction during wound care, some of my colleagues up at University of Washington. And then I started using it here at Children's Hospital Los Angeles to attenuate pain around blood draw in phlebotomy. And we've also used it for other more routine procedures like IV placement, PIC lines, and other types of painful routine procedures.
So it would be used in the instances where basically a pediatric patient has to be very still?
Yeah, they don't always have to be perfectly still because the current virtual reality gaming environments are more wrapped to the head, sort of through a head-mounted display. People are developing games where you can use eye gaze to actually engage in the environment or the experience. Their head can move around if their arms are still where the procedures are usually happening, like a blood draw might be, you know, in your arm or an IV in the back part of your hand. We're able to engage them in these activities while they're going through those types of procedures.
This reminds me of when I was much younger and I was getting an ultrasound on my heart, and the doctor at the time had put on a Looney Tunes cartoon, which I will never forget. It was Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd falling from a plane during World War II, and they were falling out of the plane for about 10 minutes.
Wow.
And I remember that not being a very comfortable experience to distract me from, you know, the scary-looking screen and seeing the inside of myself. So what sort of reaction have you had from these children so far?
Well, I think that's a great example because obviously that environment that they exposed you to was, I mean, people have fear of heights or fear of falling, so that kind of creates an anxious response. So we use environments or create environments that are more engaging and fun and light and can bring some sense of humor, but also has time-based and points and earning levels. So it's a very engaging process for the kids to play and to want to get to that next level. And what we know is through attention and concentration and focus, while flooding sort of the visual senses, the auditory senses, sometimes tactile senses, that you can engage more attention and concentration into the game and away from the procedure that's happening. The games that we're developing are focused more around having fun in a developmentally appropriate way. So we have to have games that are appropriate for 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds, as well as 16 and 18-year-olds.
VR can occasionally produce dizziness and other, let's say, mild discomforts. Do you run into this or other downsides when you're using VR for this kind of application?
We talk about simulator sickness, and you know, I've probably run close to 300-400 children through the virtual environments that we have here at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and we have not had kids report simulator sickness. However, you do hear reports of it in adults. I think as we age, we're a little more sensitive to that movement. And if the tracking is off in a game, if you're moving too quickly and the game's not keeping up with your head movement, that sort of discordant movement can cause some lightheaded or dizziness. For the most part, we haven't had any reports of that in the pediatric population.
What's it been like for that first-time user of VR? You know, a patient coming in that's never used the technology.
No, that's a great question. I mean, when we first approach a potential participant and we introduce the study, they're often very excited. People have heard about it, but still not a large population from our hospital has used it. And so there's often excitement. Sometimes if they're randomized to not getting virtual reality during the procedure, they're a little disappointed, but they get to play it after the procedure because we're trying to control for the VR gaming versus nothing to have a comparison group. So they're excited about it and they're interested and they want to play. And often when they're done playing, they'll say things like they want to do that again, or is this always going to be offered here? often the kids are laughing, and actually often the healthcare provider or the parents are giggling and laughing along with the kid, because it's kind of a funny experience. You know, they're just watching the kid move around with the head-mounted display, and they're just are so shocked how calm and relaxed the kid is. And often, you know, kids will finish and say, "Have you drawn my blood yet?" or "Have you done it yet?" We recently introduced virtual reality into a Botox clinic. We have a neuromuscular disorders clinic where kids come in with contractures and they get serial Botox injections. And the physician and nurse practitioner asked our team to come in and to trial it with a couple of patients. And so the first patient we tried, we put him into the virtual environment to play this game. And then the physician and nurse practitioner proceeded to inject the child, I would say maybe about 8 or 9 times with Botox into the areas where this child had contractures as a result of, say, cerebral palsy. The kid was 100% still, calm, giggling and laughing. And I looked over toward the mom, and the mom just started crying, because they come all the time for these injections, and it's always a tussle. He's resistant to it. He cries. He gets upset and frustrated. At the same time, the nurse practitioner, every time she's injecting him with the Botox, is just uttering under her breath, "Oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. I have never seen this before. This is unbelievable." It made the procedure go so quick and easy. The mother was just, she said it was a miracle. I said to my staff, she used the M word, "It's a miracle." And so that was a really touching experience. And since then, we've been back in the Botox clinic providing VR for kids that are very similar to that one that I described. And we're seeing really outstanding results.
What happens in the body when someone is using VR that leads your team to believe that it could be a great way to manage pain?
Well, what we learned from the last article that we just published in the Journal of Pediatric Psychology was that the kids who have what's called anxiety sensitivity, which is this idea that you have more physiological arousal, like heart rate, blood pressure, respiration, the kids who have increased anxiety sensitivity are the kids that seem to be benefiting the most from the VR intervention. So those are the ones who are able to, through the engagement in the virtual experience, they're able to down-regulate their physiological symptoms and feel less anxious. So we have decreased anxiety and decreased pain, because we know that emotional states and nociceptive pain, or like tissue damage, those go hand in hand. So if you have tissue damage, like from a needle stick, that makes you anxious. If you're anxious, that can create more pain around the needle stick. So these parameters are related to one another. So it's important to be able to regulate emotion toward pain as well as pain toward emotion. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. And it seems that that individual group of patients wouldn't necessarily be targeted, but they would benefit the most from the technology.
Correct. Absolutely. I mean, I think we're still early in virtual reality science to understand who's best matched for which interventions, which game experiences, whether you're a boy or a girl, or whether you're a school-age child or a teenager or an adult. I mean, we're learning as we study in larger cohorts. We're better understanding sort of the personalized medicine approach, if you will, to virtual reality. So customizing that which is an ideal scenario or an ideal virtual experience for that child to minimize any distress, pain, or anxiety that they're having as a result of the procedure. And again, you know, at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, we've started primarily in that acute pain management space, but our goal is to move into other areas like chronic pain management and introduce virtual environments that will be useful for patients with chronic pain to downregulate pain, anxiety, and stress.
Sounds like there's so many possibilities yet to be explored. Dr. Jeffrey Gold is a clinical psychologist and director of the Pediatric Pain Management Clinic at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. He's also a professor at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California. Thanks a lot for being with us today, Dr. Gold.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.